Hello, friends. What's up? First of all, this is an extremely important interview, and let me get this out of the way. If you're within the state of Michigan, golm.org, Gift of Life Michigan, golm.org. Go there, fill that form out, take you 2 minutes. In case you get hit by a train, all your organs are going to be donated to some fantastic soul who is just waiting patiently, hoping to get their life saved. And because of you, and you didn't like stop for the train thing, you've now saved their life. So there you go. I know that's cheeky, but you know what I'm talking about. If you're without of the state, If you're out of the state of Michigan, registerme.org. That's where you go and fill that thing out. Takes you 2 minutes, and you will save someone's life in the unlikely event that something tragic happens to you. Okay, we got that out of the way. I have someone who is a recipient of 5 organs and alive and well today because of a sweet soul who filled out her donor information. This gentleman is named Dominic Anastasi. As you know, I am a digital ambassador for Gift of Life Michigan. Dominic is a recipient ambassador and advocate for organ donation. So I'm going to interview him. 5 organs were put into Dominic's body because of the Gift of Life donated by a sweet lady named Lindsay. So let's get right after it. This is my interview with Dominic Anastasi. Hello, Dominic. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Never better. You look awesome. You sound awesome. How do you feel?
Feeling pretty good. Pretty good. A little dehydrated, but other than that, doing pretty well.
You've made a full recovery then from a, is it called a, do I say multivisceral donation or transplant? How would I describe it?
Yes, it's a multivisceral transplant. It's a simultaneous transplant done all at once where they transplant your liver, your pancreas, your stomach, and then both the small and large intestines.
Okay, start from the beginning. How did it happen that all of those things rebelled on you in such a way that you required such a drastic maneuver to save your life?
It started back in 2004. I developed some vomiting, some nausea. I went to the emergency room, and they were pretty sure that it was a case of pancreatitis. And then I started having more pains on and off. And in early 2014, I developed another case of pancreatitis that was gallstone related. So they sent me to a surgeon to have my gallbladder removed. Everything went well. I was doing fine for a period of about 2 years. And then in early 2016, I started having periods where I would get really sharp abdominal pain and I would start vomiting. So they sent me to see a gastroenterologist, and they did a colonoscopy that looked fine, but he wanted to do an endoscopic ultrasound to look for signs of chronic pancreatitis because I had had several cases. And in doing that procedure, they believed they found a gallstone lodged in my common bile duct.
Okay.
So they did another procedure called an ERCP to try to remove that. And then during that procedure, they lacerated my bile duct. They went into my pancreatic duct with the guide wire they use. I developed severe necrotizing pancreatitis. I ended up going into multi-organ failure. I had to be intubated and spent about 2 weeks on a ventilator. I started recovering from that a little bit, but in the years that followed, it just started a massive chain reaction. I started developing blood clots. I clotted all of the major veins that led to my liver. And my liver had started failing.
Wow. And So are you I'm sorry to interrupt, but because this, okay, it was already, you were having issues, but there was a mistake that was made that caused damage to your system, which then led to all these other terrible things happening, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So you went in for one thing and now all of a sudden your organs are failing and you're faced with a very, very dire set of circumstances.
Yes. We initially talked about doing just the liver, but the problem was I was seen at University of Michigan when I had all these blood clots, and they tried to do what they call a recanalization, and they tried to make new pathways for the blood to flow and remove the clots. And it had worked at first. And in my portal vein, what they had done was they had placed a stent. And within a few days, I threw another blood clot right in the middle of that stent. And the issue with the liver transplant surgeon was if he tried to remove that stent and tore that portal vein, he explained to my wife and I, he said that would be the moment where he would have to go and explain to my family that I passed away on the operating table.
So we're talking about a very fine procedure with a high risk of death. Okay.
So it was his recommendation to do the multivisceral, and his recommendation was to go to Indiana University because they're close to home and they have expertise in doing this type of transplant. And because everything comes as one, they didn't have to try to remove that stent. So the survival rate would be much higher. And in January of last year, I had a virtual appointment with the surgeon down at IU. And he was very straightforward, very blunt. He told me that he felt like I would be the perfect candidate for a multivisceral based on all of the information that he got from the local hospitals here in Michigan, and essentially told me that transplant was the only option I had left.
When you're at that point and he tells you that, have you been, can you still survive with your damage setup for a period of time? I mean, it would probably have been uncomfortable, but could you have lived?
Not very long.
No, you were going to die if you don't get a transplant.
Pretty quickly. I was listed officially July of last year, or July of 2020, I was listed. And I was transplanted August of 2020. And when he came out and spoke to my wife after the procedure, that was the first question she had for him, was how long I could have survived with the organs I had. And his only response to her was not long at all.
Hey, what's up? It's your pal EZ with another amazing partner for the Eric Zane Show podcast, the Eufy Video Lock. Oh my gosh. Smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell 3-in-1 triple security. You got everything in one device. All right, rather than install piecemeal, hoping that you got this app that it's going to work okay in that app, and oh my God, this is not just for security, but also for convenience. No more worrying about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. So, you know, like they all have their codes, they walk up to the door, they punch it in, the door unlocks, in they go. And of course, it's a video camera, so it's all there. You can see who shows up at your door. This is fantastic. We live in a golden age for home security. And the Eufy Video Lock is the top of the heap, okay? You can go to eufyofficial.com/video lock for more information. This thing is easy to install. The setup, all you need is a Phillips screwdriver. No drilling or anything like that. All the keyless entry components make it so fantastic. 0.3-second fingerprint recognition. Amazing. No battery anxiety. You've got the ultimate, I don't know what it is, super lithium whatever that keeps this thing powered for a long, long time. No monthly fee on this, unlike other brands that do that. They just bend you over and charge you a monthly fee. I love the Eufy Video Lock. Get to eufyofficial.com/video lock. EUFYofficial.com/video lock. Wow. Okay. So you listed in July. You have the procedure 1 month later. Yes.
Yes.
The surgery. We're going somewhere with this. You are an advocate for organ donation, Gift of Life, Michigan, National Organ Registry. An angel saved you, 29-year-old young lady named Lindsay. She was the one who donated to you and saved your life. Isn't that correct?
That is correct.
I can see a picture of this brilliant soul right now. What do you know about Lindsay?
I've been communicating back and forth with her mother. They wrote me a letter about a month after my transplant. And then we just recently, in the last couple of months, started communicating through Facebook Messenger. And I know that she was 29. She has a brother. She has one older brother. I guess they were really close. She loved animals. She had several cats. She was a vegetarian. She did not like a lot of meat. Her mother said, other than McDonald's cheeseburgers, that was about the only meat she would eat.
Yeah, gotta have those. Gotta have those.
Yeah, she loved to bake.
When you got the phone call that there is a new, I guess, digestive system for you, and it is time to come to the hospital, were you actually in Indiana at that time, staying there?
No, I was in the emergency room in Kalamazoo.
Oh, okay. I was under the impression that you had to have the procedure done in Indiana. That's not true.
No, the procedure was done in Indiana. But oh. When I received the call, I was in Kalamazoo.
You just happened to be in the emergency room.
Yeah, we had a drive from Kalamazoo down to Indianapolis.
What was that like? You're told basically you're getting a new set of organs. Can you take me through those thoughts, those emotions? Because 1 minute before that phone call, you're convinced you're going to die.
Yeah, it was very, very emotional. I remember I broke down. I cried because it was tears of joy that I knew in this moment that I potentially was going to have a shot to live. I knew there were still some risks. There was still the risk that I might not make it off the operating table, but I wasn't thinking that at the time. I was just excited that I was going to have a chance to live. And I had a son that was graduating high school the following June that I knew at that moment that I would have a shot to be able to watch him graduate.
My gosh.
That was pretty exciting.
The procedure takes place. You're coming out of sedation. What's the first thing that you recall as you came out of sedation? It's usually some wild thought or something like that. What do you remember the first thing when you came out of sedation?
The first thing I remember was just being really groggy. And as soon as I first came to, I don't remember much. I just remember the nurses coming into my room. And they removed the breathing tube that I had in. And then the first thing I did was call my wife because she was at the hotel at that point sleeping. And I had lost all track of time. I had no idea what time it was. Apparently, it was 12:30 in the morning.
Wow.
So they had just laid down to go to sleep, and she freaked out a little bit. She was wondering who was calling her from the hospital, but she was happy when she got to hear my voice.
Wow. How long was that procedure to do all of that work?
It was approximately 10 hours.
Wow. Do all of the organs that you don't need anymore, do those leave you? I mean, I know that's a weird question. Some might say that's even a dumb question, but like when I had a friend who had it, he actually had my kidney put into him and they left his old kidneys. What do they do with your stuff?
My everything I had came out.
It's like a remodel completely.
Full remodel. Because it's usually they do the same thing with the pancreas. Is usually they'll just piggyback the new pancreas with the old pancreas. But in this case, they didn't. All of my organs came out and the new organs went in.
I feel actually now in hindsight that was a horrible question, because that would imply that they're leaving your large intestine in there along with the new one. That doesn't make any sense. I feel like an idiot.
they did all that. And then they took my spleen as well.
Okay. Now, at which point you get the phone call, you go down to Indiana. At some point, you have to start thinking about what's going on. How did I get this gift, right?
Yes.
Take me through that, please.
Yeah, it was pretty emotional the following morning. My transplant was done on a Saturday. It was Sunday morning. My wife was there bright and early as soon as visiting hours began. And I remember I got really emotional because I was happy that I got this gift, but in the back of my mind, I knew for me to receive this gift, somebody had to tragically lose their life, and that there was a family out there mourning the loss of their loved one, whether it was a husband, wife, daughter, because at the time, obviously, I didn't know who my donor was. I just knew that there was a family grieving, and I became really emotional, and they had to call the chaplain up to my room to speak with me because at the time I was just inconsolable.
Yeah. I imagine. And you know, there's just the whole concept of donation, and in particular, this case, something as sudden as, and tragic that happened to that young lady. For me as a father, if one of my children had something happen and then their organs were donated, for me, it would help me grieving in my grief to know that a portion of my child's body is alive and well and doing an amazing job keeping someone alive for a long, long time. I can't think of anything more incredible than that. And I tell you what, it truly is a gift of life, you know?
It definitely is. It definitely is. And that's why I volunteer with Gift of Life to get the word out and to encourage people to register as donors, because it makes a difference.
And that's the perfect opportunity because, you know, if you are in the state of Michigan, you go to golm.org, and all this is in the show notes when we publish. And if you're out of the state of Michigan, you go to I had it down and then I lost it. Do you know it off the top of your head for the National Registry?
I'm not sure. I don't know if it's through Donate Life.
I've got it here written down somewhere. Nationalregistry.org, I think. I feel like a jackass. Well, anyway, I'll leave it in the show notes. And then people can get it that way, just so that they go and fill it out. It takes them like 1 minute and it's it, you know, then people know that you have agreed to donate your organs in the unlikely event of something happening to you. So, yeah, man, I tell you what, it's so fantastic that you're here. And now here you are advocating for it. It truly is fantastic. That's the way it was supposed to be.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what's next on the horizon for you? I mean, you've got a since that happened a renewed life, and so you're probably everything you do has got to be full of just enthusiasm, love, and amazing you know efforts in order to get the things done in life that you want done, right?
Oh yeah, it's just a lot of spending time with my family, spending as much time with them as I can. I have all of my three kids that are still in high school play sports. So it's helping them with their sports, getting to go watch them play.
Yeah.
Actually, we have a cruise coming up as a family that we're taking January of next year. So we're looking forward to that.
That's great. Dominic. Well, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're doing this. I'm glad that people can hear your story and know how important it is to register with Gift of Life or any of the other organizations, National Donor Registry, in order to make it a possibility if something does happen. So I tell you, I cannot thank you enough for the time. I'm so glad that you are here, and God bless Lindsay's family and her, and just, I continued, communication with them. I hope that continues to go well and helps that grieving family, Dominic.
Thanks. I definitely appreciate it.
Okay, buddy. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Take care.